This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
Our scripture reading is found in Daniel chapter 3, verse 27. Look what God's Word says. And by the way, folks, I want to remind you, look, I've written some books. Other people have written books. But get this. God only wrote one book. Amen? God only wrote one book. No, it's the Bible. It's the Word of God. And so I just want us to be keenly aware. This is not what some individual says. This is what God says. What God says. Daniel 3:27 says, "And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power." Boy, there's some things in the Bible that won't burn up. There was a bush, it wouldn't burn up. The Bible says the things that we do, our works that we do for the honor and glory of God, will not burn up. Read it. There's some things that won't burn up. "Nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed." Get this, folks. "Nor the smell of fire had passed on them." So they go into this burning, fiery furnace, and they don't even smell like fire. Well, you can't have a meal at the Waffle House and come out and that happen. Amen? I mean, literally, they didn't even smell like fire. Let's pray. Jesus, as we bow our heads and our hearts in your presence, "I cannot, you never said I could. You can, you always said you would. Make our tongue a ready writer's pen. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. God, we want to speak your word. God, the Spirit and the bride say come. We want it to be in unison. So have your will, have your way. And for all you do, we're going to praise you. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Till you come, we pray. Amen." You may be seated. I want to talk to you today about you are walking through hell, but how do you smell? You're walking through hell, but how do you smell? I've got a mentor from afar. His name is R.T. Kendall. He's 88 years old. He's written, folks, like 100 books. And I was having a conversation with R.T., and I said these words to him. I said, "R.T., everybody that I read after is either dead or almost dead." He said, "Thank you, Benny. That really helps me to feel good." But one of the people that I read after was a man by the name of Martin Luther, who lived in the late 1600s and the early 1700s. One day, Martin Luther was robbed. And that afternoon, after being beaten and robbed, he wrote some things in his journal. This is what Martin Luther penned. He said, "First of all, God, thank you that I've never been robbed before." He said, "Second of all, thank you, God, that they took my money, but they didn't take my life." He said, "Third of all, God, they took my money, but I didn't have much, so they didn't take much." And he said, "Fourth of all, thank you, God, it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. It was I who was robbed and not I who robbed." What was he saying? Here's what he was saying, ladies and gentlemen. He walked through hell, but he didn't smell like it. If we're not awful careful, we can walk through hell, but we smell like it. To quote the great theologian Elvis Presley, Elvis Presley said these words. He said, when things go wrong, don't go with them. When things go wrong, don't go with them. Because things will go wrong. We just got to make sure we don't go with them. Now, there's four primary things I want you to see. The first thing I want you to see is the arrogance of the king. Who was the king? He was a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. Apparently, God wanted us to look into this man's life because he's mentioned 90 times in the Word of God. He ruled and reigned for 43 years. He actually, folks, was the first Gentile monarch. I mean, he conquered Assyria. He conquered Egypt. He conquered Judah. But his prize accomplishment was he conquered Jerusalem. Now, there's four quick things we want to see about him. The first thing I want us to see about him is the project. The project. It's in verse 1. What'd this guy do? Well, he built this image. 90 feet tall. 90 feet tall. 9 feet wide. 6 feet wide, excuse me. 90 feet tall. And he built this image according to Daniel 2 verse 38. He built this image of himself. That's the project. This massive image, this massive image of himself. But the second thing I want you to see is the politicians. He built this image, and he did much what we do today. He said, we're going to dedicate it. I mean, we're going to have a big event. He said, we're going to invite all the captains and all the judges and all the treasurers and all the governors. He invited all the politicians in. I don't know if you knew this. I didn't know it till this week. That this year in Washington, D.C. was recorded one of the coldest winters ever. One of the coldest winters ever in Washington, D.C. Somebody said, Pastor, how cold was it? It was so cold that the politicians had their hands in their own pockets. I mean, it was cold. So I want you to see, look, get this. I want you to see the project. I want you to see the politicians. But I want you to see the proclamation. He said in verses 3-5, he said, wait, I'm going to build this image. And at the sound of the music, everybody has literally got to bow down and they worship this image of me. But not only do we see that, there's a fourth thing we see. And it'll make sense in a minute. We see the penalty. He said, no, wait. If you don't bow down and worship the image, you'll be cast into a burning, fiery furnace. So, Pastor, that seems strange. Well, let me just remind you of something, folks. It's just a preview of what's going to happen. It's just a preview of what's going to happen. You say, Pastor, do you think we're in the end? No. We're definitely, folks, in the end. We're definitely. You turn on your news, and right now you can see Iran and Israel. You can see what's going on. You say, Pastor Benny, I never thought that would happen. Did you think it would happen? Sure, I know it's going to happen because, see, I've read Ezekiel chapter 38. I know what's going to happen. Let me tell you something. God has got all this in plan. Nothing's taking God by surprise, by the way, folks. God's in control. This is just a preview of what's going to happen because look what Revelation 13:15 says. And he had power to give life, wait, unto the image of the beast. When you see the word beast in the book of Revelation, it means a wicked earthly ruler. The image of the beast is the image of the Antichrist, should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast, they will be killed. During the tribulation period, people will either worship the image of the beast or they'll be killed. That's what God's word says. See, I want you to see, folks, the arrogance of Nebuchadnezzar, the arrogance of the king. But wait, I want you to see the antithesis of the Savior. The antithesis of the Savior. Did you realize, folks, if you read the Bible cover to cover, it never one time says pray for humility. It never says pray for humility. But yet James 4 and 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Somebody said, preacher, I want to be like Jesus. Well, let me tell you something, folks. Jesus described himself one time in the Bible. You say, he said he was love. No, John said he was love. You say, well, he said he was holy. No, Peter said he was holy. He described himself one time in Matthew 11 and 29. He said, I am meek and lowly in heart. Let me tell you something, folks. If we're going to be like Jesus, we're going to be meek and lowly. If we're going to be like Jesus, we're going to give him the praise. Because you got to understand, folks, what we don't turn to praise turns to pride. What you don't turn to praise will always turn to pride in your life and in my life. I heard about this gospel singer. And by the way, folks, there is such a thing as false humility. This gospel singer had a concert one night. And somebody came up to the gospel singer after it and said, that was so good. And the singer said, well, it's all God. And the guy said, it wasn't that good. Because let me tell you something, folks, if it's all God, it won't just be good. It will be incredible. It will be out of this world. It'll be phenomenal if it's all Jesus. Now wait, Jesus was the antithesis. See, the Bible never tells us to pray for humility, but it gives us a wonderful example in John chapter 13. When, by the way, when Jesus took that basin of water and he washed the disciples' feet, those muddy, dusty feet, in John chapter 13, verse 3, I see some things. I see, first of all, Jesus knew where blessings come from. Look, go back to the verse, folks. Go back. This is good. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. You want to build humility into our lives? We got to realize, folks, where blessings come from. We got to realize everything that we have. You say, well, Pastor Benny, I've got a gift. Yes, and God gave you the gift. Amen? We got to, you know what to build humility in our lives is when we realize where blessings come from. They come from God. I'll tell you something else that will build humility in our lives. The second thing is, Jesus knew where he came from. Look here what it says. And that he was come from God. I know it parallels a little bit. But you know what I build humility in your life? It's when you realize where you came from. I don't know about you folks, but I was just a sinner saved by grace. I was just a sinner saved by grace, and God's done wonderful things in my life, and I know where I came from, and I know what he's done, and I know he merits the praise, and I know he merits the honor, and I know he merits the glory. Amen? I'll tell you what, to build humility in our lives, when we know where our blessings come from, when we know where we came from. But lastly, Jesus knew where he was going. It's in the text. And went to God. He knew where he was going. You know, I'm not one much for games, but there's a game that we used to play called Monopoly. I don't know if anybody's ever played. But I thought about this one time when I was playing Monopoly. I was buying hotels and motels. And I bought all this stuff up. And then we finished the game. And you know what I noticed when we finished the game? It all went back into the box. Hey, I've got a news flash for you. If I can just, hey, it's all going back into the box. It's all going back into the box. All this stuff that means so much to you, I'll just stop by this morning to remind you, it's just stuff, and it's all going back into the box, and that's really not what matters anyway. I see the arrogance of the king. I see the antithesis of the Savior, but then I quickly, I see the assurance of these boys. I see the assurance of three Hebrew boys who said, they took a stand. See, there's three quick things I want you to see. First of all, I want you to see the test. Get this. By the way, there'll be tests in life. I heard about an old football player that wasn't real smart, and he played for the Georgia Bulldogs. He wasn't real smart, but he played for Georgia. Well, you don't have to be real smart to play over there. But he was copying off a real smart guy in school. That professor felt like he was copying this old Georgia Bulldog. And he said, I just think he's copying. So we started watching him real close. And he said, I'm going to do a pop quiz. And he did that. And he still felt like that old boy was copying because he got the test papers back. And question 1 through 9 was verbatim. He said the same thing. The football player said the same thing that the brainiac said. But they got to question 10, and the brainiac said, I do not know the answer. And he looked at the old Georgia Bulldogs paper, and he said, me neither. Bye-bye, we'll plug. We got a Georgia Bulldog coming in a couple of weeks, and he's going to be with us, Carson Beck. But see, when I was in school, folks, you had a lesson, and then you got a test. But in life, you get a test that teaches you a lesson. And sometimes what I learned about school, during the test, the teacher was always real quiet. And sometimes it may seem like God is quiet. But God will test us, folks. There's a test. They said, boys, either you bow down or you're put in the furnace. Either you bow down or you're put in the furnace. There's a test. But not only the test, there's the tribulation. Well, what's the difference between test and tribulation? Listen, a test lasts a short time, but tribulation lasts a long time. Wait, a test builds patience in your heart. A tribulation builds perseverance in your heart. See, I want to give you something to think about. In John chapter 15, the Bible says he's the vine and we're the branches. And he said if that branch is not producing fruit, what does he do, folks? He cuts that jammy off. Or he purges it. He cuts it back so it will produce more fruit. Now look, I'm not real smart. But if I'm the branch and I get cut back or completely cut off, either way, it's painful. And this whole happy clappy group that's just preaching just peaches and cream, it's not true. There's nothing biblical about that. Nothing biblical. See, I see the test. I see the tribulation. But then I see the testimony. See, many people go through a test. And after the test, they don't have a testimony. They've just got the monies. Amen? But three Hebrew children said in verses 17 and 18, come up. They said, look, the God we serve, he's able to deliver us. Folks, I don't know what you're going through, but I came this morning to remind you the God you serve is able to deliver you. The God you serve is able to see you through. The God you serve is more than enough. But wait. They said the God we serve, he's able to deliver us. But even if he don't, we're still not going to bow down. Put that in modern day English. I'll be glad to. God, I want you to touch my body. But even if you don't touch my body, I'm still going to lift my hands toward heaven and I'm going to live for you. Put it in modern day English. I'll be glad to. God, I want you to work out my marriage problem. But even if you don't work out my marriage problem, I'm going to lift my hands toward heaven and I'm going to praise you. God, I want to get this position. But glory be to God, even if I don't get this position, I'm going to lift my hands toward heaven and I'm going to praise you. God, it matters not though you slay me, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to praise you despite the circumstances. See, sometimes God delivers you out of the fire, but let me tell you, friend, sometimes he delivers you in the fire. And he'll be more real in your life in the fire than he ever will be out of the fire if you'll just trust him. Folks, just here's what I'm trying to say. Just trust the Lord. Just lean into Jesus. Just pray and talk to him. God's not going to leave you. God's with you. God's going to see you through. So, Pastor Benny, do you sometimes have difficult times? Sure. We all do, folks. Everybody does. I pastored the church all these years and had more staff transition probably in the last year than I ever have. Just, you know, people come and go. And, you know, look here, folks. If we trust God to lead people to come to a position, we got to trust God to lead them away. He's sovereign, folks. He's sovereign. Somebody comes to me and says, I want to talk to you about something. God has told me I'm supposed to da-da-da, and I want to talk to you about it. Well, I don't mean it's wrong, but if you've talked to him, you don't need me. I mean, if he's giving you the word, what does it matter what I say anyway? Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen? Well, I mean, we want to lean into Jesus, not some man. And while I'm on that, folks, listen, look here. Don't make celebrities out of people. You said, Pastor Benny, you, no. I'm no celebrity. I'm a preacher of the Word of God. That's all I want to be, is a preacher of the Word of God. That's all I desire to be. No desire for anything other than that. Tuesday, a man came to see me. He was having some problems, and he was getting ready to go, and he said, I want to give you something. I said, no. He said, you've helped me. I said, I'm not a good counselor. He said, no, you've helped me today. And I said, okay. But I'm not a good counselor. And listen, if I was suicidal, I wouldn't see myself. You say, why are you not a good counselor? Look, a good counselor listens. I'm not a good counselor. I just want you to shut up so I can talk. That's not a good counselor, amen? You want somebody who listens to you. That's just not me. And But he said, I want to give you something. And he gave me a baseball bat. I said, it's cracked. He said, yes, and there's a certificate of authenticity with it. Brian McCann was batting. He broke his bat. He said, I purchased this bat. It's very expensive. I said, well, thank you. Man, this is all right. I got me a Brian McCann bat. The next day at 10 o'clock, I was interviewing a young boy for a position. And I'd shook his hand, but I didn't know him. He's 22 years old, and I knew he was, like I said, I knew I was interviewing him. I knew he was a fine young man. And so I brought a couple pastors in with me. We'd been in the meeting about, or even before that, I was going to meet with him at 10. So I came into the sanctuary at 15 to 10, and I prayed. And I said, God, you don't have to do this. There's nothing, no reason why you would, really. But it would help me. If I'm supposed to hire this boy, and at this season they're all boys. I said, if I'm supposed to hire this boy, I'm going to ask him who his favorite baseball player is. And if he says Brian McCann, I'm going to give him the bat. But I'm going to give him a job. And we'd been in the meeting about 7 or 8 minutes. And I had Cameron and Clay in the meeting with me. And I said, son, who's your favorite baseball player? 22 years old. He said, it may sound strange to you. It's a guy from days gone by. A guy named Brian McCann. I gave old Mac the bat, but also gave him a job. I said, I'm afraid not to give this guy a job. Amen. I'm just saying, folks, when you don't know what to do, just lean into Jesus. Just pray. Just depend upon him. I just want you to know, after all these years, he'll see you through. He'll work it out. He's more than enough. He's the one you... Hey, somebody said, oh, I need to get on the phone. You don't need to get on the phone. You need to go to the throne. Go to Jesus. Now, wait. The arrogance of the king, the antithesis of the Savior, the assurance of the boys, but I'm almost done. The astonishment of the king. The astonishment of the king. They said, King, we need to tell you something. He said, tell me about it. They said, these boys won't bow. He said, heat that fire up in that furnace about 7 times hotter than ever been before. I'm going to teach these guys a lesson. And he puts those guys into the furnace, folks. And the next morning he gets up and he looks down in the furnace. 1, 2, 3. He said, wait, didn't we cast 3 men in the fire? He said, I see a 4th man. And he's like unto the Son of God. I wish I could have talked with him. I would have said, Nebby, he's not like the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He's Jesus, the Lamb of glory. He's not like the Son of God. He is the Son of God. Now get this, folks. You said, Pastor, I'm going through a hard time. Where's Jesus? He's in the fire with you. You say, well, I sure don't see him. I don't feel him. You come up real close. The Bible never says that the 3 Hebrew children saw the 4th man. You read it close. It never says they saw the 4th man. I just want to remind you that God is not a feeling. He is a fact, and he's in the fire when you can't feel him, when you can't see him. He's working when you don't know he's working. He's moving when you can't see it. I see the 4th man, but I see the fire miracle. See, what are you talking about, Pastor? What are you talking about, the fire miracle? I'm talking about they came out and they didn't smell like smoke. See, some of you have been through things, but you still smell like smoke. Some of you have been through things, but the resentment, the bitterness, the anger, the hurt, the animosity, the hold on you still there. You've been through the divorce, but you still smell like smoke. You've been through the hurt, but you still smell like smoke. You've been through it, but it still controls you. You say, preacher, what's the secret? Well, if you look in verse 20, they were bound. They were bound. But the Bible says in verse 25, I see four men, wait, loose. Some of you have been through the fire, but you hadn't got loose. You're still controlled by the hurt. You're still controlled by the past. You're still controlled by the bitterness. You're still controlled by the anguish. You're still controlled by those feelings. Oh, for God's sake, let it go. Leave it in the fire. Leave it in the fire. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, we want to be able, if you're walking through hell, what do? You just keep on walking and you make sure that smell don't stay on you, that you're free of it. Two monks one time came to a body of water, and there was a beautiful lady there, and she was scared of the raging water. So one monk picked the woman up. He put her on his shoulder and he carried her across. 2 hours later, the other monk said to him, you and I took an oath that we wouldn't touch a woman. But you did. And the monk said to him, 2 hours ago, I picked a woman up and I carried her to the other side of the river and I set her down. But you're still carrying her. I know what happened 5 years ago. I know what happened 10 years ago. But when are you going to set it down? When are you going to set it down? Oh, you've been through hell. I know you have. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I'm preaching today to somebody. You've been through hell, but come up real close. The problem is you still smell like smoke, and it's time to leave it in the fire. It's time to let it go. I know you've been through hell, but you don't have to continue to smell like that smoke. God can set you free. Oh, folks, I'm preaching better than you're responding. God can set you free. I'm done with this. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, he laid them on the fire, and there came a snake out of the heat, grabbed a hold of Paul's hand. Now, here's what I want you to see. Somebody said, Pastor Benny, you're real an expressionary preacher. I don't mean to be. I can say I don't want to be. But when that snake got on him, look what he did. He shook off the beast into the fire. How do you feel about snakes, Pastor Benny? We need to put them in the fire. You say, well, it's a good snake. There's no good snakes. They just need to go in the fire. The place for snakes is in the fire. He put it in the fire. He grabbed his hand, but he put it in the fire. Now let's read on. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius. He received us and lodged us, and he was courteous, he was kind. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of fever and of bloody flux, to whom Paul entered and prayed. Wait. And laid his hand on him, and he healed him. God used him. He used that hand. But before God could use that hand, he had to put the snake in the fire. God wants to use you, sir, but you got to put some things in the fire. God wants to use you, ma'am, but you got to put some things in the fire. God wants to use your life, but you're going to have to leave some things in the fire before God can use your life like he really wants to. You've got to let go and you've got to let God. You've got to leave some things in the fire. You got to make sure. Oh, I know you've been through hell. By the way, we all have, folks, but we want to make sure you've been through hell, but you come out and you don't smell like smoke. I'm 59 years old. I've preached all over the world. I don't mean that in a boastful way. But I know when I've got a word that's a word in season for somebody. I know when God has laid a word on my heart, it's a word for people. And all I'm going to say is God's done that today, ladies and gentlemen. It's a word in season for somebody. Let's walk through hell and make sure we don't smell like smoke. We can't determine what happens to us, but we can determine what happens in us. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Let's stand and give him praise. Can we just stand and give the Lord praise today?
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.